You guys know with our Creators Couch sessions, we turn them into podcasts later. So thank you guys for your patience bearing with us. We get mic'd up. We want to make sure that not only you guys can have something to go back and listen to later, but also people that may not have been able to experience this can tune in later and check us out. As mentioned before, this is something that we want to do pretty often for you guys. We keep it pretty intimate. So you will never, in my opinion, come to one of these where the room is so packed that you feel like you can't actually engage with one of us or talk to one of us. We want to keep it kind of small and intimate like this so you guys can get your questions asked and answered and you guys can feel really a part of this. So without further ado, let's get another hand round of applause for Lewis coming all the way from Chicago. Appreciate it. Cool. So we're going to get right into this. So, Lewis,
what's that?
My guy. Again, thank you for joining us here.
Of course.
At the studio. This your first time in Atlanta?
First time in Atlanta. I was telling them first time in the South in general. I haven't left.
Oh wow.
Really left Chicago as much as I would like to. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been cool.
So, what's your experience of it so far? If you can wrap up Atlanta in one thought so far. How do you feel?
It's tight, man. Dinner in the most random places.
Yeah.
The weather's cool, the music's good. I mean, the food's been pretty good. Just everybody here is so, like, I mean, very just kind and has a lot of hospitality and just super real. Like, I love it. Like, it's not like awkward conversation. It's more like one, like a high, it turns like a deep conversation. I love it because it's so, it's genuine, it's real. So,
that's what's up. Well, you know, welcome to Atlanta.
Thank you guys.
Hopefully, you enjoy your stay here with us.
Yeah.
So, to get right into it, when was the first time you were kind of introduced to art? Or what are your earliest art memories? Do you have any?
Yeah. As a child, I'm Filipino. So my parents were just super like, you know, they moved here in the 80s and had me here. And like, you know, growing up, I grew up as Asian American. So I didn't really understand, like, you know, I just knew my surroundings as I grew up. And it was like, you know, a roof over my head, food on the table, going to school and just like having fun with my friends I made in school. And then, you know, it's just like knowing what they went through, what they're going through. They're like, oh, you know, we want you to be good. Just do this, like do what you love. So my first memories of art was like, I was a hyper kid and I still, you know, I like to turn up sometimes, but my parents, in order to shut me up, they would literally take a stack of computer paper and place it in front of me and give me like 5-10 pencils or pens and like, you know, sit here and draw. Like, just be quiet. Like, you talk too much. I'm like, damn, all right. So I'd sit there, just keep drawing and drawing and drawing. I would be there for hours on end and just like, literally drawing everything from like rocket ships to spaceships to aliens to Star Wars characters fighting, like it's just random. But I just remember those memories vividly because that's all I like to do was like sit there and actually create. So it was cool. It was fun.
This was up. So it paid off. Those punishments.
Punishments kind of like me really paying attention to detail and like little like meticulous things kind of like transcended into what it is now. If you look at the work, it's like very. There's just a lot going on, like a lot of details and just subject matter that some people may get. Some people are like really like analyzing, but at the same time, it's like everything from my childhood to now, it's like this is what it's grown to so far.
So are you a self-taught artist or did you go to school for any of it?
I'm a self-taught artist. I want to consider myself because everything that I learned, even from like just, you know, you pick up a pencil, you just kind of train yourself. You just like kind of like establish your style and your aesthetic. But it was more so like, just being around those individuals giving me opportunity, like, oh, we see you can draw, like, can you draw us this, can you do this, that, like, and, you know, you always want to say yes and kind of, like, not finesse, but just be, like, step up to the plate for the challenge, like, if you're given an opportunity, take it, regardless of not, if it's, like, something you're familiar with or something you love to do, like, corporate client, friend, just do it, you know what I'm saying? So from there, it was just, like, learning and going as I went. And yeah, I went to art school for a year. I went to Columbia College as a graphic design major. I honestly tell people all the time, like for me, to be a graphic designer, I was like, man, all I needed was that one class, that 2D design class that I took. And that's forever gonna be the only class that I was like, man, this is the one that like shifted my look and my skill set on design. Everything else was like extra. And you know, I'm not saying, I mean, school's very important. I mean, I dropped out freshman year because opportunity came. Mm-hmm. So as I went on, I just kept teaching myself how to maneuver my way around these programs, keeping up with the mediums and just having fun with it, experimenting. It's super important. You know, like at the end of the day, artists have their own style and they have their own identity. And for me, it was just like being self-taught to learn who I was, understanding my identity, not trying to be like anybody else. Like we kept saying in the back room yesterday, it's like, you know, everybody has Instagram and a phone at the palm of their hands. Like their palm of their hands are controlling how they perceive the world.
Yeah.
Your scroll, your thumb swipe is your perception of the world. For us, before Instagram, it was in the perception of the world. It was like, you know, going outside as kids, experiencing what real life was and having fun and with our friends and literally like breathing air outside, stepping out and kind of taking everything in as our inspiration. So
would you say as a young creative trying to kind of follow your footsteps or even my footsteps, what would you say is the best way to learn? Through experience or through actually attending a course or a class? Like, what's your perception on it?
I want to say it's 50-50. I mean, people ask me all the time, like, yo, can you teach me graphic design? I'm just like, yeah, I could teach you, but honestly, like, I'm going to teach you, like, three basic things, but I really want you just to, like, learn and be in it and grow. Like, I'm going to throw you into a pool of sharks and see what you can do. That's how I would learn, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was working, you know, as, like, a regular design intern at a boutique in Chicago whenever I could get the chance to. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like the stock. I was basically my first boutique job in Chicago. I was a stock boy. I was the bathroom cleaner. I was the sales rep. I was a window washer. And number five, I was a designer. I got hired as a designer, but other than that, it was all the things I had to do in order for me to have 5 minutes of the design graphic. And from there, I was like, how can I quickly get this idea down without wasting my time and having to get back to the regular stuff and things? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it's like just experimenting. And you'll get frustrated. You'll be like, damn, this is too much for me. But at the same time, it's like, I want y'all, whatever you do, photography, design, art, whatever art medium and creative outlet you have, like, keep going. Like, you're going to learn about yourself and learn about your skill set as you go. Because the best teacher is yourself and other things you go through, like, real talk. Like, it's not what you see. Like, don't try to be like anybody you see on Instagram. Like, be yourself. Stay true to yourself at all times. Because the more you do that, the more you'll build up your own identity and really, really learn about yourself beyond what you want to be or do. So it'll come out.
Yeah, as you talk about that, that's an interesting concept. I was actually talking to an industry exec, I won't say what company, and they were showing me some prototypes or some things they're working on that they're going to be pitching that all of us will see in the future.
Yeah.
And I asked a question, like, as a designer, and I asked the same to you, curious to know your answer.
Yeah.
In this day and age with Instagram, with you're being exposed to so much information. You've been exposed to so many people's ideas, mm-hmm. so many concepts. How do you maintain originality when it seems as though everything has been done before? Or how do you maintain the perception of you created something? Or how do you feel about the idea of creating something that's 100% yours? Or do you think it's cool to take inspiration and borrow? Some people are on both sides of the fence. Some people say it's stealing. Some people say it's taking inspiration. But in today's day and age, it's like you're exposed to everyone's ideas. Mm-hmm. How can you almost not be influenced by things that are happening?
Existing, yeah.
So what is your take on that? How important is it for you to stay original, or is it more important to pay homage to ideas you've had and to kind of all of us take ideas and build and grow off of them?
Yeah, that's great. I think... I think it's half, like I feel like, you know, a mid-level of that kind of thing, because it's like with internet and Instagram these days, like obviously everything is just being like repeated, mm-hmm. but in someone's like, oh, I'm gonna tweak this color a certain way. I'm gonna add this cut a certain way to this hoodie. I'm gonna add this graphic portion. I'm gonna do this for this, but like it's the same thing someone's doing. That it's cool. It's like kind of like, basically to me, it's like lending an idea to something that exists already, but how you can visually yourself would see it better. Which I think is important, because if you see something that exists, like these shoes, your clothes, your t-shirt, your cameras, like what's like another feature or enhancement they'll make to that product, this great idea that'll like even take it further. You know what I'm saying? Like cameras have been around forever. Mm-hmm. Like point and shoot. From point and shoots to all the features now, it's like you got all this, you know what I'm saying? So from there, it's like I think adding ideas on and putting on top of each other is like is cool, but also, it's like paying homage, like you said. Like for me, it was like having fun with it. People want to have fun with things that exist because they want to put their twist on it. For me, it was like paying homage, not really paying homage, but having fun with The Simpsons. Like it was all by accident. Like that Homer Simpsons piece, like that was a birthday present for a homie. I was like, let me make you something for your birthday because you're a big Simpsons fan. And I never used color before. And when I added color, everyone was like, yo, this is fire. So I remember I put that on Instagram. This is last year. I put it on Instagram and I was only at like, I mean, I don't care about follower count or anything, but it was like 900 followers. And then everyone was like, yo, this is fire. So they kept reposting it. And everyone was like, yo, you gotta keep making more. So from there I did like Homer, Bart, Lisa, Maggie, Marge, Krusty. And from that, it went to like a full art gallery show where it turned into like this paying homage to something, mm-hmm. turned into a Chicago gallery show where like it was my first time doing a show at a barbershop that we took over. And the capacity is like 80 people. We ended up having like 140, 150 people that night. And then from there, it was like, yo, like, can you do a bigger show? Because that show was invite only. I love inviting the world sometimes, mm-hmm. like the homies. But from that, it was like, how can I pay homage even more? Just like show people that these ideas can exist to something you're already familiar with, but like on a bigger scale. So it was like taking that. And then a month later, we did a show at this agency called The Annex on Chicago Avenue. And like, it was my first public show in Chicago. This was last year. And it was probably like I'm humbled for people to call it legendary in Chicago because we literally brought out the whole city that night. We had like 800 people there that night.
Crazy.
And I was overwhelmed. I was like, this is insane. I wasn't expecting this off of a birthday present.
Yeah.
Paying homage to something and using color for the first time. So we just, you know, blew it out. And then from there, it was like, you know, you guys like paying homage or doing something that you're familiar with or just doing your own twist of something. Like, don't think they're small ideas. Like, don't be scared to like, kind of like add your comment to something by doing something to it. But also like, you know, respect it too, but never be fearful of like taking those steps to make something happen. Or something that you love and exists already, because that could lead to you doing certain things. Like for me to make some Simpsons art led to shows, and now I'm sitting here in Atlanta with one of the illest photographers and you guys in front of you right now because of taking the chance and opportunity. So
appreciate that. So your work can be seen obviously on canvases, on walls, t-shirts. A lot of people may not know you've done sneakers, you've done have you done hats and stuff? I'm pretty sure you've worked on other
wearable items. I've worked on hats. Shout out Don. I got to learn a lot from him, and working alongside him as like his designer for a little bit was a complete honor.
So with all that, how do you classify, I guess, who you are? Like if you had a one sentence pitch of who Lewis is,
like
what type of artist are you? Are you, do you put yourself into one category? Like if you had to write who you are in one sentence.
Oh man, that's a hard one. I would just like one word, like not even one word, like maybe just a visual artist.
Visual artist.
Yeah, visual artist. Like Lucy gives me a visual artist. Like not even a sentence, but just my name and what I consider myself as, because it's more than just, you know, art itself, but my background is design. I learn a lot when I do through graphic design and fashion design. And just being behind the scenes of a lot of projects that people are like, you know, I'm thankful that people are familiar with, and you know, being from Chicago is such like a energy and a push, but then creating work as my own. But yeah, I kind of took that step of like, instead of being behind the scenes, I want to like kind of move forth on my own and kind of experiment to what it is now.
So when you were in Chicago,
you
mentioned you were working at a boutique.
Yeah.
When was it that you decided like, you know, I want to actually be an artist and I want to pursue this like as full-time thing?
Man, so I've always wanted to be an artist. I was doing art, like that's how, so there's this boutique in Chicago called RSVP Gallery, and I basically had this portfolio of artwork and just like intricate drawings. And then I remember my boy Easy Odebar, he has a brand called Infinite Archives right now. And you know, he's doing his thing, I'm proud of him. We met through selling shoes back in 2008 in Chicago. And then he hit me up, he's like, yo, I'm working at RSVP Gallery as like a sales rep. And he's like, we're looking for a designer, I want you to meet this guy, Don C. And you know, we're looking for a designer. And I was like, I knew who these guys were, this was 2011. I was like, all right, I'm down, like I need another job or I just want an opportunity. He hits me up, he's like, yo, like Don's gonna email you. And then Don emails me and I was like, wow, I'm humbled. Like, can you meet me at RSVP next week? I want to see what you can do. So I remember sitting down with Don, like I had a portfolio ready. I was like suited up and everything, like a job interview, sitting in the RSVP gallery. And he's just like, I'm starting this brand called Just Don. Like, have you ever worked on hats before? And I was like, I said, yes. I'd never really worked on hats before. I just said, yeah. So from there it was like, the Just Don, the snakeskin snapbacks. Like, yeah, Jay-Z and everybody wear them. And this is when he was starting Just Don. And he's like, yo, I want to test you out for like 6 months. And 6 months turned into 8 years. And yeah, I'm still like consulting. You know, now it's like I stepped out of my comfort zone about, you know, I always had art in my background. So going back to your question of like how I knew I wanted to be an artist, because that's how I got my position. Like, yeah, they saw my intricate bulls drawing of like this style that I do still now, but now with color. But that's what kind of like put me, you know, put me front forward facing everybody. Like, all right, this guy has something, I guess. But little did they know, like, I had a deep design background, graphic design background. But art's always been like, you know, I always say this, like, art first, design second, because art for me is like, I'm passionate about it. But I'm thankful to be able to like mesh both art and design together to create its own kind of thing.
That's really dope. How many of you guys are familiar with RSVP Gallery? You got. So RSVP Gallery is a boutique. Oh, I'll let you explain it. I don't want to give it the wrong.
Yeah.
I'll tell you from the outside and you correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's a culture driven boutique, I would say, based in Chicago.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, the owners are Don C and Virgil Abloh.
Mm-hmm.
This was started when? Do you know when?
2009. Austin, 2009, correct? 2009.
Yeah. So that basically, this was the birth child of Don C and Virgil. And it has produced some of the greatest like people out of Chicago, in my opinion. And it's a culture hub for a lot of things that are prominent out of Chicago, from the art scene, the fashion scene, the music scene. Right now, they're like one of the biggest boutiques, I would say, in the world. They have a location in LA, Chicago. So if you guys are ever in those two markets, check them out. Fun fact, my studio is extremely inspired by RSVP Gallery, to be honest with you. Everything down to our decor, to the way we are now starting to do merchandise, the way that we highlight people that stop by, the way that we make it kind of a gallery in a sense, heavily inspired by it. So if you guys are ever interested in learning more about it, RSVP Gallery on Instagram, you should definitely add it to everybody's phone and stay in the loop of what they got.
It's a family.
It's really dope. A lot of really dope people. Like, this guy here has came out of that kind of incubator in a sense. So I just want to make sure everybody understands what we're talking about, so
yeah,
it doesn't go over anybody's heads and y'all can keep up. So through your journey, you mentioned meeting Don C and him offering you an internship.
Yeah.
At a time where you might have been looking for a job,
I was working at a boutique that I was like still like the stock boy, et cetera, for. And that's my family, man. Akin Chicago was like a special place for me too, because that's where I met a lot of people that I know now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because it was like the only like, it was a boutique in Chicago that sold the illest sneakers, like, and you know, streetwear at the time, like Undefeated, like when everyone was still like, you know, the glory days, Stussy and all that. And it was owned by a bunch of Asian guys. So it's like having these like home dudes who were like super Asian, but really into sneakers and J's. And for me being from the suburbs, I was like, I was exposed to sneakers. I was like, man, I really want even just to be near them. Like, I had to be a stock boy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's where it just started from there and then on.
So what would you say, like, when you got the offer from Don and it was an internship, what were it's going through your mind in terms of like, did you see it being something you wanted to do for a long haul?
Mm-hmm.
Were you originally thinking like, maybe this is a stepping stone, or did you see it growing, morphing into like kind of the relationship that you have now, the stuff that you guys have been able to work on? What was like your thoughts at that time?
Man, honestly, it wasn't like, oh man, like I was humbled. I was excited because it was like another opportunity for me to create and learn. You know, it's not about like the position you put in. It's not about who you're going to work for or work with. At the end of the day, it's about who you could connect with on a really personal level and have a relationship as a friendship and just learn from and take it and be a sponge, you know? It's like things that school can't really teach. Like, you're just gonna learn as you go. All these opportunities, like, I don't care how many Instagram followers you may have. I don't care who, like, what you've done. It's about, like, what you're trying to do. And if you need my help, let's make it happen. Like, let me see what I can do to help. It may be a win, it may be a failure, a loss, but at the end of the day, it's like, you take something away from that. Everything I've ever done, W or L, like, to this day, still, like, it's not perfect. It's not always W's. Like, I've taken that in to be like, I bet, like, it's a lesson learned. It's making me stronger. So I would say, yeah, like I think that was just super important for me, and it still is, because you know I still look up to those guys as like family and big brothers and just mentors, because they've taught me so much when they haven't like verbally taught, like, you know, they haven't like showed me how to do something, mm-hmm. but all the stuff that they've gotten to do or be a part of, they've always been so welcoming for me to be like, yo, we need your help, or not help, but like, we just want you to help out and vibe out with us and make it look like it's gonna happen in real life, just like mock-up, rendering, design. And I was thankful for that, because I was able to learn my skill set and move really fast through the programs and go from there.
So being from Chicago,
yeah.
Do you think that the city has had some impact into your style of art, or has it influenced you at all in the way you think, look at things? Do you think it has an impact on you, like your work?
Definitely. Like, I love representing Chicago in all assets and all aspects. I got the Mike Jordan over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up on Michael Jordan. That was like the first time I understood like what American culture was growing up. That was like a thing. My family being super Asian, like, they would literally have a family party every week the Bulls would play. And my uncles would be surrounded by a little ass TV box, like probably like this big. And there'd be like 15 of them around a TV, like in the thickest Asian accent, like passing the mic, go pass, like all this crazy shit. And it was wild to me, because like, it would be a big ass family party for one exhibition game, not even the finals, like, oh my God. And it was just wild. Like, those were very vivid memories for me. And then, you know, back then Filipinos love to hustle, man. So my mom, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, there was like this Filipino store down the street from my crib, and when the Bulls would win championships, she would be slanging fake championship tees with a fake sticker on there. I was like, yo, and I would go to school. I was like, I got the new tee. I got this yet. Y'all didn't hit foot, like, you guys didn't hit Sports Authority, Sports Mart yet. But all that shit was like, it was so inspiring, because I was like, yo, I love this. Like, I love the design. Like, it was so real. You know what I'm saying? Like, that to me was just like, you know, for me, like, my dad was always like, yo, Michael Jordan, like everything. Michael Jordan, Bulls this, Bulls that. Like, I had Michael Jordan everything. But yeah, Chicago, that during that time, played a big impact. Like, my parents want me to play basketball. I'm Filipino, I got two left feet. Like, no, I'm not gonna play basketball. But it's like, yo, let me, I got deeper into it, because like, I would always love to draw the Bulls logo and like just sketch jerseys in my notebook as a kid. I don't know why. I was just, oh, I like designing. Like, you know, I didn't even know designing was, graphic design was, till like sophomore year of high school. So my counselor was like, yo, you should go to art school. But it was more so like me just having fun drawing stuff that I thought would look cool. Little did I know back then, it was like just literally pencil on notebook paper. But now it's like, you got digital platforms. So, but yeah, I think Chicago as a city with music, sports, and just the culture has affected me deeply, and it still affects me, because now it's like, I'm even more motivated to keep climbing, because I mean, there's a lot of people, great, amazing artists and individuals coming out of Chicago that are like literally shifting the world and the culture, which I really am proud to almost hopefully one day be a part of. But at the same time, it's like, me, I'm Asian American. A lot of people look at me to be like, oh yeah, you should be a nurse or doctor, this or that. Like, my parents were like thankfully supportive, but my aunts and uncles, like, I'm not gonna forget, like 3 years ago I was at a family party, my aunt's like, oh, so what are you doing now? Are you still doing art? I'm like, yeah. She's like, why are you an artist? Artists are poor. And I was like, damn. I don't mean to be disrespectful. She's a nurse, and I love nurses. And in my head, I'm like, I really want to say, like, all you do is wipe ass all day. But I didn't say that, because obviously they don't just do that. But I was just like, I was offended, because I'm like, yo, you're supposed to be supportive of your nephew. Like, but you're telling me this in front of my face, drinking your wine, like, oh, why are you artists? Artists are poor. I'm like, damn. I just smiled. And from then, I was like, all right, let me keep working. And now today, she like hits me up like, yo, I need some art for the crib. I'm like, all right, I got you. So it's cool. It's all love now.
It's the perfect when it comes back.
Yo, it's crazy, like, bro. It's so nuts. But
I love that. And yeah. We were talking yesterday. I took Lewis to Magic City.
That's where I had dinner. I was like, dinner in the random places. I was like, where should I go eat dinner? I'm like, yo, where are we going? He's like, let's go to Magic City. I was like, are you serious?
Magic yesterday, did it right. And to touch on that, we were talking, and we actually had a conversation similar to this. And he was telling me about his parents and how they kind of supported, but then sometimes didn't always understand. And
yeah,
I can relate 100% to that, being a photographer. And I actually come from, my dad's a photographer. And we used to bump heads early just about, like, is this a real job? Is it for real? Is it serious? And I know that a lot of you guys in here are probably having those same talks and arguments with people. And when we were just talking about it yesterday, it really hit me, like, why I created this studio. And I always have other sayings of why I created the studio, or I made it for this, I made it for that. And I never thought about, which is truly my main reason for creating the studio, was to have a space that welcomes you guys and to let you guys know that this is real. You can be an artist. Like, and if you're not getting that support from home or from your friends or whatever, this is where you can get that support.
You got support from us. Yeah.
And that's why we have these talks, and that's why I will continue to bring people here. And that's why I make myself available to let you guys know that I know what it's like to be told this isn't a real job. I know what it's like to be told you're not gonna make money, you're not gonna do this. And we're here to stand with you guys to say, like, nah, you can't, you can really do this. Because I'm a living example, he's a living example. A lot of people in this room are living examples that you can make something out of this. Yeah. So it just reminded me that. And yesterday when I think I said that to you yesterday, that was like my first time vocalizing, honestly, like, that is the reason why this studio exists and why it will continue to be a support system for artists all around. But that's a very interesting point. So no journey to success comes without struggle and comes without, you know, ups and downs.
Yeah.
So if you're down to open up about it, what would you say is probably like the toughest part of your journey so far?
Toughest part is just, important part and toughest part, investing in yourself. Sometimes you may not have the funds to even like invest in something you want to do. That's the toughest part, because like, man, should I spend this money on like food, or am I going to spend this on my art? I mean, yo, you take that one step of like putting like $100 or so to the side to like invest in supplies or even get prints made for yourself, that could turn into something else later on, you know what I mean? Like a bag, like it doesn't matter, like something. But it's like, it's crazy because it's just like, that is a struggle, just finding like, you know, assurance that this is like obviously gonna help you go day by day. You know, like for artists, it's like, we're not maybe the richest people in the world, but it's like at the same time, like it's rich to us. And for myself personally, it's rich to me because I'm loving what I do every day. I'm waking up on my own schedule. I'm creating. I'm knowing like this may be seen by people. This may not be seen by people. But at the end of the day, like you're pouring your heart out in, by yourself and onto a canvas. Next thing you know, it's like your canvas and your heart is being seen by so many people, or even being perceived and sitting in a room explaining yourself to a group of people. That to me is like where the wealth comes, and that to me is like why I fight through the pain and the struggle every day. You know, I'm not a perfect person. I've had a lot of losses, and you know, more losses than wins, but at the same time, those losses just make us better. Honestly, like accept those failures, like no matter what. You probably hear it all the time, but you know, you get knocked down, at the same time, you gotta keep standing back up. Because if you don't, you're just gonna end up in a lane where it's like, all right, I gotta get this corporate job now. I gotta sit and do this now because like, this is not making me happy. It's not making me money or whatever. But nah, it's like, don't give up so easily on yourself, especially because if you've been doing it, it's like, yo, you just want to keep doing it. Because the more you do it, you'll eventually be seen. I mean, there's social platforms now, but it's like, just remind yourself, like when that slight win comes through, imagine why you never failed, but still went through those losses and those like really hardships. Like, you know, it could get really dark and really scary sometimes on like, you know, I'm speaking forth for you guys, like on a mental thing too. Like I've just had things of like, man, I'm just really just down on myself. Like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. There's been moments like that all the time. I mean, I was truthfully gonna give up on art as a whole and just do graphic design, and just package design for like a corporate company, like probably 2 years ago, until I reminded myself why this was so fun and made a Homer Simpson speech for a friend and put it on the internet. And now we're sitting in Atlanta.
Well, we're glad you didn't give up, man.
No, I can't, yeah.
I think that to kind of touch on that too, I find a lot of people when they're chasing their dream, or they call themselves wanting to be entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
They forget about the sacrifice that comes along with trying to be successful.
Yeah.
And then some people may believe in a sacrifice, but they think, oh, I'm gonna just sacrifice my time. Well, I'm gonna put a lot of time into it. But I always feel like in order to really jump out there, it requires not only a time and energy sacrifice, but a monetary sacrifice as well.
Yeah.
And whether that means investing your own money, or it could mean, and I'm not encouraging anybody to quit their day jobs,
but it could
mean quitting something that is making you money to invest more time,
energy into
something. And it does get scary. I will admit that. I'll share a story with you guys, and I don't think I've ever told anyone that doesn't work here about this. So I'll share this with you guys, and I guess they'll hear it on the podcast as well, so other people will hear it. This studio is a year old this month. A year ago, how I got this studio originally, I'll give you guys some real, real inside scoop. I originally had an office that was on the other side of this wall. It was the original home for what was supposed to be Cam Kirk Studios. If you look in there now, it's no way you even imagine it being what it is today. It's like carpeted, I think the walls are blue. It looks like an office space, like a dental office almost, like, to be honest. But I had someone give me the space. And they were just like, yo, they had this space. They wanted me to have that space. It used to be a door right here. And they told me straight up, like, yo, I want to have a recording studio in here. If you guys have ever shot in here, and you guys might enter these dressing rooms, you notice they're kind of shaped like recording studios. This space was built out to originally be a recording studio. Okay. And they were giving me a photo studio to do my thing. And with the hopes that I would bring the celebs and they would infiltrate over here. It was a great idea. It made a lot of sense to me. And it was at a time where, honestly, I wasn't willing to make the sacrifice and to invest money into myself to open my own studio. So I was like, shoot, if you're going to give me a space, I'll try to make it work. Long story short, I had that studio, and I had what I thought was going to be Cam Kirk Studios for about 4 or 5 months. We built it out. We got so excited about it. But I really didn't do a lot of the research on what it took to really open the studio. I kind of was, because I didn't have any stake in it. I didn't invest any of my own money, per se, in it. I kind of didn't really take it that serious. I come to work one day, and all the doors are locked. I'm like, what is going on in here? Like, what happened?
Damn.
Found out that the rent hadn't been getting paid since we moved in here. So I was honestly faced with a decision through our landlord downstairs. It was like, yo, we see you come here every day. The guy never built this side to be a recording studio. He, like, never came. And I always was like, what is happening? Like, he never built it to a studio. It just was an empty space. And they literally was like, we looked you up. We know you're somebody, and we know you come here every day. So if you want to stay here, you're going to have to take on this lease. And it wasn't a cheap lease. It was like what we pay today. And I was literally faced with a decision of like, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, you know, like, am I really willing to sacrifice money every month to build something? And you got to think, this is a year ago, so some of you guys might have just been hearing about this studio within the last couple months. So there was no buzz around the studio for myself. But long story short, I took the leap. And it put a lot of pressure on me financially to say, this is what we're going to do. I went into my savings. We spent thousands of dollars to decorate the space, to build it out, painted the walls, did all the stuff to really create, you know, what we have today. And it was one of the best things I've ever done. And if you asked me at that time, I was scared. Like, I didn't think I could do it. Like, I didn't know how this would turn out. So I can definitely attest to that, like, putting your own money and investing in yourself, investing in a dream, and not being scared. Like, you know, I would have waited years if that opportunity didn't happen. I would have waited years to really take this serious.
Yeah.
And it kind of took, you know, something to hit me to kind of jump out there. So I definitely agree, like, investing into yourself and being willing to take that sacrifice, it's important. You know what I mean? It's important with whatever you guys got going on to kind of think about it like that.
That's crazy. It just, like, blew my mind there.
So, yeah, we're like, here, man, now.
Yeah, that's ill. I love that.
A year
that's
later.
Just like,
And we ain't going back. We're gonna open up
no matter how many roadblocks, they're just like, you get celled up in a jail, like, all right, bet, like, these bars are just coming down because I can't do this anymore. It's like, damn, like, is this it? No, it's never it. You're gonna find a way.
Yeah.
If there's a will, there's a way. You know, my mom always tells me, she's like, you know what? At the end of the day, everything's gonna work out the way it should.
Yeah, and then I share that with you guys to know that no matter where you go, trust me, we're hit with roadblocks the same way you guys might feel like you guys are hit with roadblocks.
Yeah. Like,
and some of our blocks might be bigger, you know, to be honest. When it comes down to it, they require a little more work. So the road never necessarily gets easier, and that's kind of the fun in it. I mean, who likes to do anything that's super easy? You ever played a game that's just too easy and you just win every... I guess, like, who likes to play
Mario
like,
like 50 times?
But that's not life. Like, you want to play a game that's challenging. Yeah, maybe you want the beginning to, you want to get your confidence up, but you want to play a challenging game. That's where the reward comes in at. So, trust me, all along the journey, all around the accolades and the success, I'm just hit with different obstacles, and it doesn't get any easier. No. And then the more successful you get, the biggest obstacle becomes yourself. It's like competing with yourself and always making sure you're doing better than you did last year. Even if you have the craziest year last year, you got to have a crazier year this year.
Yeah.
And that becomes a bigger monster. So you almost become a monster to yourself. But it's fun because you get to really see what you're made of.
Yeah, and experience
and
it. Yeah.
If you're not, if right now you guys are creating and you guys are working, and if it feels easy, there's a problem. I can tell you that off the bat. If it feels like it's too easy, if you're chilling, if you got a smile on your face every day and you just feel like life is peachy, you're probably not working hard enough, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, and not to say that you shouldn't be happy. I think being happy is the first step of being successful, first of all. Being happy with yourself is going to create the energy you need to be successful. But if you're just living life like it's just so sweet, then you're probably not working hard enough to really achieve what you want to achieve.
That's deep. That's real.
So as you create, and again, we've mentioned you create everything from wearable art to art for your house, art for murals, stuff like that. Is your approach to creating different things different? Like when you approach designing a wearable item versus maybe some of this on a wall, is your approach different?
Oh, yeah. I think it's super different because when it comes to the art on the walls or just when you, like, I love curating installations, you know. And going back to the monetary thing of, like, believing in yourself, sometimes you have to have a team as well. And, you know, I got two guys on my squad that are, like, super just in it more than I am. And one of them's here today, Austin Neely in the back. Shout out my boy.
Hey, Austin.
My manager, but still, like, my partner of, like, making a lot of things possible. You know, it's like people who surround yourself with your friends that like believe in you too and believe in themselves because they have that mindset of like, all right, bet we're gonna kill it. Like sometimes it's never just about I, it's about we. How I see it. Like this is not just I, it's we. Like we're here. But yeah, I think you know, when it goes to that, it's like at first it was like, all right, cool, can I just create art and do art shows and show prints on walls? But no, it's like the idea of like, all right, I wanna do an installation. Sometimes you can't have that happen alone. Like you're gonna have to have a team to help you or just people that you wanna like have around you and just believe in the same and have the same working aesthetic. Cause that way it's like you work as a team and you just elevate even more. So yeah, I think for me to balance art and design, it's like, before it was, I mean, still divided. Like I still try to keep approach to like a simplified merch item as opposed to just a crazy art. I like to balance it because sometimes like, you know, too much crazy art on a t-shirt, someone may like it as what it is, but like may not wear it. For me, it's just like all about balance and just like kind of like, how can I elevate it? How can I elevate it more than just prints, paintings, all what are designs or art? Like I want to do like things that when people walk into something that I'm doing and that we do as a team, it's like we want an experience to be felt. Like you're going to walk away with a memory, not just a flick for your gram, but you're going to walk away like, damn, I remember that for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So through your journey as an artist, what would you say is one of the greatest lessons you've learned?
Greatest lesson I learned is just continuing to stay true to yourself. Don't switch up for anybody. You know, it doesn't matter how many people like you get popular or just like, oh man, you're cracking. Like, nah, don't let that get to your head ever. The greatest part is just like knowing that you've always been the same person you were, growing and like accepting your failures and becoming just a better person every day. Like that's the greatest thing, because it's like, man, like, I'm still the person I was like years ago, or like I grew up as a kid, like that quiet, I mean, not quiet anymore, I love talking, but you know, the quiet Asian kid just drawing in his notebook in lunch break or some shit. Sorry for cursing, but yeah, pretty much.
I think we all curse a little
bit.
Yeah,
but it's just like, you know, I'm saying it's like the greatest part learning is just like being able to see all your hard work put into something, whether it be one or two, three photos, four pieces, a t-shirt design, but then seeing like being like received by others and their take on it, like whether it be good input or bad input, just being able for someone, like being able to see someone see your idea, not just yourself, and kind of commenting on it or like appreciating it, that's the greatest reward. Cause it's like, you obviously created for yourself, but now you're like knowing that you can create for others. Like you can like, without even knowing the person, you're gonna vibe off energy. Like y'all, like you guys don't even know me at all. You guys showed up. That to me is a beautiful thing. And now we're all gonna be friends and know each other because we're all here. You know what I'm saying? Like that to me is like the greatest thing. Like it's not about the money. It's not about how many people are like are gonna show up to something. It's like about like the people who show up. Cause when you show up, you just gain a W right there. Cause like we're all gonna win together at the end of the day.
Yeah. So through this journey, what keeps you inspired, or what are the things that you look to for inspiration?
My family. I have a nephew now. He's gonna be 2 next year. Like I'm big on family and. You know, my nephew being born is like, man, this kid's like loves to draw already. I can see him drawing on chalk, like on the ground. Like when I have my own, I'm gonna be 29 this year. I'm getting old, but it's like when
it's
I have my own family.
Man,
yeah,
old,
bro. Damn, we're getting there. I'm gonna be 30 soon. Jesus Christ. But my biggest inspiration is family, because I say it all the time. Like, it's not about my name being on something, but like the fact that like you could X out Lewis, but have De Guzman. That to me is my inspiration. The fact that I could slap De Guzman on something. Or have like an art show about Lewis, but De Guzman, that's a big thing for me. That's my biggest inspiration, because I have a lot of family in the Philippines who have never been here. Cousins that are my age or your guys' ages, like who live in a third world country, but probably never get to experience what, how we do in America. Like sitting here in a room, listening to each other and just like talking and vibing out with some good air conditioning, good lighting, like they don't have that. And for me to go out there and experience like living like, for the first time, like staying with them and living in a third world country, like not even vacationing, but visiting a third world country, it was like, damn, like y'all motivated me even more, because I gotta go even harder for our family name. My grandparents like worked their butts off, like as I'm sure as everybody else's, like our family's put on so hard for us to like, for us to have the clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, food on the table, fresh kicks, sitting on these dope orange chairs, listening to us, like we're here for a reason because of our families, right? They started us, they pioneered for us, so why not create for them, but for ourselves too? Like you wanna pass that torch on. So that's my biggest inspiration.
Yeah, I think touching on legacy is important. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that a lot of times we don't think about, and it's something that I think needs to be a bigger focus as we're put on this earth. We're put on this earth to create something that eventually we pass down. I mean,
yeah.
That's the laws of evolution.
Yeah.
And the way life works, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that I was having a discussion with some people before about the importance of family and legacy, and more of us taking pride in our names and our family names, and not to go too Black history on it, but obviously a lot of us in this room have been stripped of the ability to go back generations and know where our family came from and our heritage. And I think that is something that as a result hasn't been, the concept of legacy and taking care of family values has been stripped from us. A lot of us, I know me, I'm a first generation almost, like I wouldn't say success story, but it's like my parents didn't go to college.
Yeah.
They worked hard and they have 9-to-5 jobs. They still work to this day. So hopefully I can be the first to kind of break that cycle and have something that I can leave for the next generation. And I think that it's important that as we go through our life, we not only plan for our present life, but we also plan for what's to come after us. It's been a lot of talk about like, is Kylie Jenner self-made and stuff like that. I think it's a hilarious debate. Because it's kind of like, who the hell wants to be self-made? Like, that's cool if you're self-made. if you had to do that. But do any of you guys want y'all kids to feel like they have to be self-made? Like, isn't that the whole point of life? Like, to make sure your next generation never has to be self-made, that they live on the shoulders of giants. And I think that that logic is almost a brainwash that people have, where they feel like, I want my kid to go through the struggle and know what it was like to come up here. And it's like,
come up.
I don't want my kid to know what it's like to come up. I want to teach them how to stay up. Like, you know, like, you're already here. Don't worry about that. I did that for you. And then they'll be able to pass that along. And I think that concept is something that, as you guys are chasing y'all dreams, know that you're not only chasing a dream that's for you, but for maybe your kids or your family.
Yeah.
Like, all of that kind of is relying on you guys, you know, and it's important to kind of approach things that way, because then you start to approach life as a marathon and not as a sprint. And you start to think about, is it worth taking this little job or this check, or is this going to set me up for further to take an internship over here that can teach me something? I think it's important to kind of think of things like that.
No, it really is, because it's like, you know, we're put on this earth from family and our ancestors and people who are just like, all right, cool, I'm going to continue my legacy, my last name, my family roots and trees, like, to just to keep growing on. So it's important.
Definitely. Definitely. So I know this is a question you asked me, so I have to ask you.
Yeah.
What's next?
Man, like, we asked that yesterday to each other. I asked you that. I was like, what's next? And it was kind of a trick question, because it's like, I want y'all to know, like, you guys should live every day without expectations, live unexpectedly, because that's when the best things will come your way. Like, super, like, real talk. Like, don't expect, like, all right, I'm going to make this photo, I'm going to do this art piece, like, I'm going to get this deal the next day. Like, no, like, just literally live unexpectedly. But for, like, you know, scheduled calendar-wise of what's next, we, you know, flying back to Chicago Saturday, we got a collab with a great brand coming up called Warhol Kids. We're going to be, they're doing a pop-up shop at the Ace Hotel. We got a little collab with them Saturday. I was super humbled. Like, I love working with the community in Chicago and as much as I can do. And I'm very thankful to have worked with Nike Chicago. So we actually teamed up with some rec leaders from the Chicago Park District. And there's 20,000 kids who attend the Chicago Park District every year. And there's like a handful of rec leaders who are probably your guys' age, like 22 and up, who literally sacrificed their summers after college or after, you know, summer breaks to work with these kids. So their idea was to get these rec leaders who love to create like yourselves and put them in a room with me and two other artists from Chicago and kind of like curate some t-shirt designs, like design something special and tell their story through design and art that they love to do. And, you know, we got to work at the Nike Chicago headquarters and just like build on that. And now we have an event Tuesday where we're going to unveil the designs they did with Nike and the Chicago Park District on Tuesday. We're planning for my third show for December, installation experience in Chicago. And yeah, we have some stuff. March 2019, March 31st will be the mark of the first international solo show that's actually gonna be in the Philippines. Like, I'm hyped for that. I'm so like humbled that the first show out of the country will be where my motherland, my roots are. So that's gonna be an animal within itself, but we're ready, so.
Congratulations on that, that's
sick. Thank you.
That's sick. So I wanted to, as we wrap up, touch a little bit on your inspiration and your thoughts behind the collab that we did.
Yeah.
And a little backstory. I met Lewis in Chicago at RSVP when I was shooting for Nike and Don C for the Don C ones. Did you got them on, Keenan? Yeah, like those Don C Forces. If you guys haven't seen it, Keenan got them on. Yeah. I shot the campaign for that in Chicago, and that's where I met Lewis, who actually worked on that shoe as well.
Yeah, I got that.
And that's how we kind of met and how this kind of formulated all the way back then. And I know I didn't think it would turn into this.
Nah.
And I don't think we even thought of it like that. Nah. It was kind of just like two people with mutual respect for each other's work and then being open to seeing how a relationship can evolve and ways we can come together. So when we were gearing up for our 1 year anniversary, I'll tell you my thought process. Like, and I don't know if this is on purpose or what. When I originally saw your art style and your artwork, it just reminds me of a celebration. It just looks celebratory to me, from the colors to, it almost looks like falling confetti to me. And it just reminded me of a celebration. And it just felt like anniversary, like 1 year or like a celebration. So when I was coming up with what we would do for our 1 year, it was like an easy choice. Like, man, we need to get back to Lewis and let him kind of put his mind to a concept or an idea around what it is that we're trying to portray with our 1 year and what I feel like the studio represents. And I don't think I gave you much like direction. I'm a big believer in letting geniuses do what geniuses do. I stay in my lane. I'm a photographer. So if someone tells me they're a designer or creative, I really will let you do that. I'm not trying to take your job or anything like that. So I kind of just let him take a stab at it. And when he felt like that was it, that was it. Like, we ran with it. I think we ran. I don't even think we did any edits. I think it was like,
just like, yo, yeah. I was like, yo, it's all organic and naturally. Yeah, it was fun.
That was it. So what was your process coming up with the shirt? Who has a shirt on? You mind standing up, Asani? You see the front, you see the back. Pull it down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the front reads.
For the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, all right. Already caught one. There we go.
My guy, yeah.
So, what was your process? So, what was your approach to it?
Man, the approach for the t-shirt, I mean, first off, we'll go from the front first. So the front, for the community, by the community, is something that I say because when I say community, I talk about the creative community, the subculture that we are all in, wherever city we're in, Chicago, Atlanta, LA, New York, like, at the end of the day, like, this is this community of creatives that everyone belongs, regardless of how high you are on the timeline or how low you are or you're just beginning. Like, we're all a community. We all like are living, breathing artists within our own, because you guys are the future. Like, real talk, like, I know you told me you sketch, man. I want to see your drawings after this. Like, y'all, I don't know what you guys do yet, but my photography, what are you guys into? Photography, fashion, exactly. Like, y'all are creatives. Y'all have a mind that thinks differently than others, and you are a part of this community. You're sitting here and you show up today, you're part of this community. So for the community was about being for the creative community, by the community, by us, by creatives. So for the creatives, by the creatives. But in a sense too, it was also about, it says Atlanta, Georgia, because Camcare Studios, it's the platform for his community, for his city, by his city, by the people involved in the studio. So there's a double meaning behind that. We had to tag it off with this Camcare Studio logo on the side, of course. Like, I love that logo and the colorways you use. The backstory, honestly, the main graphic is a line art drawing of my new collection, In Between the Lines, that I'm developing. So that's one of the pieces up here that I actually had in LA. It just got shipped here like a week ago. So this was showcased in LA at my first solo show out of Chicago and Los Angeles in March. But In Between the Lines, like, that new stuff is like, it's my new approach to my work, because I'm stepping away from pop culture. This is my last time doing pop culture. I mean, first and last, technically, like, I'm going towards more something more conceptual and my own thing. So I wanted to incorporate something new that I'm working on, and just a black outline of, like, you know, raw, ready to go. And, you know, it says to Camcare Studios, from Lewis to Guzman, subject 1 year anniversary. And, you know, the way of communicating today is like over email. It's like, all right, bet. Like, Cam's like, yo, to Lewis from Cam, subject 1 year anniversary. He's like, this is the idea. This is what we want to do. And I was like, all right, let me kind of send it back to you. But let's be our own. Like, all right, I'm going to send it back to you for everybody. Like, let's have it on the back, you know, and all about the Pantones. But yeah, and celebrating the anniversary, just really knowing people that, like, telling people that this tea is a commemorative tea that celebrates this whole month and what's to come for Camcare Studios and what's to come for our community. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, it's something that's for the moment, but for beyond. And it was just, honestly, like, not thinking too much. Like, you know, best advice I give you guys is, like, when you guys create, sometimes I feel like, myself, I think too much. When I think too much, I can't get anything done. I'm like, yeah, I want to scrap this. Like, but have fun with it. Remember, you're doing it because you love doing it, because you're having fun. So doing this tea off the bat, like, yo, let's do it because we're having fun. Like, here's a quick rundown. Let's make something visual for it and just have fun with it. And like you said, there was no edits. We just made it happen.
Dope. Yeah, so if you guys haven't had a chance to take a look at it closer, as we always do at the end of your Creator Couch, we let you guys have a chance to come and talk to Lewis and show him some of your work or some things you guys are working on. And we also opened up the doors of Detour if you guys want to take a look at the shirt closer and see the art around the room or whatever, would give a chance to kind of have a mixer vibe. Let's give a round of applause for Lewis.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
Oh, before I wrap, my apologies. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, questions. Anything.
You can save it if you want to do it one-on-one, or if you wanted to kind of just have open dialogue, I'm open for that, too.
Earlier in the conversation, you were talking about three basic things you could teach somebody.
Yeah.
I know Cam got mad trade secrets. So if you don't want to say those, so just the three basic things.
Yeah. Like, as it comes to art and design?
Yeah.
Man, honestly, the trade secret is, like, the first thing probably goes for the next two is, like, just experiment. Experiment's important. Like, just literally just start creating with what you're used to, but seeing how you can take it to the next level. It's like about experiencing and just how you could elevate your style. You know, for me, it wasn't always like this. It was just like simple black and white line work or just simple sketches and just like, how can I make this better? You know what I'm saying? So that's a trade secret, I guess, in the sense like, yo, just have fun, experiment. Don't stick to one thing. Secondly, just, just believe in yourself. Always, like, don't care about what other people think or, you know, about your work. Who matters the most is you, yourself, and how you perceive your work, and like, is this really you? Is this make you happy? Is this you? And third is just like we said earlier, it's like a secret is like, honestly, invest in yourself. Like, one investment could change the rest of your life. And I'm safe, happy, and proud to say that one investment, like a quick trip to Kinko's printing a Homer Simpson piece real quick for a birthday present, and buying a frame and doing all this was like probably an ill investment because it turned into, you know, what we have now. Just kind of being comfortable and proud of showing your work out there. So it's good. What's your name?
DeMarco.
It's DeMarco. Lewis, man. Nice to meet you.
Dope. When it comes, I know you just said like you should always like matter about what you think.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about like, for me, I let a lot of things influence me.
Yeah, of course.
I just take it all in, and then I have an idea pop.
Yeah.
And that. So like, how important are like things like your peers and like, you know, other things like pop culture and all that?
They're important because like, it's like the peers and the pop culture. Like, I mean, the peers, like our friends, like they just like, and people we're creating with every day, like, they'll hype us up, man. Like, they're our cheerleaders, in a sense. We're our own cheerleaders, but then they're like, they're our hype men, our hype women. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're gonna like, keep us like, you wanna always surround yourself with good people and good who have like good morals and just like, really just like about it. Not trying to gas you up, but just like, yo, I mess with this heavy. You know, Cam has an amazing staff and squad that I'm like, yo, I just met them, but he's surrounded by amazing people who drive him, I'm sure. And he drives them. That's why they show up every day. Y'all showed up because you guys were inspired by somebody. Now you're listening to other people talk. When it comes to pop culture, it's like, yeah, obviously, like, you know, for pop culture, it's history in the sense, like, you know, it's things that existed, but like kind of like just being reinvented on a level of like someone thought about this amazing idea, how to make this even more amazing. But yeah, it's important to take it all in and just like be a fan of it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, like you said, stay true to yourself. Like, are you really messing with it on a personal level? Do you have a personal attachment to it? Or are you just doing it because it's getting, like, you see that this certain thing is getting 1,000 likes on the gram? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. It's a balance. But at the end of the day, it's like, do it for you and do it because, like, you have an attachment to it, man. Like, for me, like I said, The Simpsons was for a friend. But before that, like, I was watching The Simpsons every day at 5 o'clock after I got out of school. So, yeah.
Bios.
That's good. What's your name?
I'm Luke.
Luke.
Yeah, which do you prefer, I guess, like, digitized form of graphic design or like, pen and paper?
So, I like both. I mean, a lot of digitized graphic design work because I like to mesh both worlds of, like, my design background and artist background. But people are like, oh, man, do you just, like, have, like, a button you press to make this all blow up?
Template?
I'm like, nah, honestly, no. Everything is drawn out. Still, like, I still have a tablet. I still draw everything out too. Like, it's not like I'm clicking a mouse to like, all right, let me draw a line and like press a button to make it go crazy. I have a tablet. I sit there and draw every little element still. Like, I'm still drawing it. I'm still taking a pen to a pad and literally drawing it. I'm not clicking and doing that. And, you know, a lot of elements I have is like
sketched out for my college years too, and I scanned it in. Like I love sketching and stuff too. I still do that. Like I want to get more into the balance of it, like kind of like different mediums. You know what I'm saying? Like this new stuff on acrylic print base is like I love it because it's a little more different than just a piece of paper or matte finish. Now it's like, can I, yeah, texture. Now can I add like ink to it? Can I do this to it? Can I just elevate even more? You know? So like, I wish there was a projector screen where I could show you guys, but I'm more than, I love doing obviously the art, but to me, driving an experience is more important for myself because I'm able to kind of have people immersed into the world of my art. Like you're walking into it with like, damn, like this experience is like, I'm literally stepping on his art or stepping into his art. So yeah. But yeah, it's all about having fun. It's just like experimenting with different mediums. For myself, it's like, I'm happy to be able to tap in and just know different things and learn as I go. So, yeah. That's good, bro. What's your name?
Khalil.
Khalil, nice to meet you.
Yeah, so just as a creative, like, how would you, like, what would you say about dealing with that from a creative standpoint, like, just the fear of the unknown, like, being able to just kind of convince yourself to just take that next step or to just, you know, try that project or whatever you might say.
Yeah, man, stepping to the fear unknown is the first part because you're taking that risk. For me, like taking the biggest risk of like just pursuing art or just like, I can do this is like probably has a better payoff. The bigger the risk, the bigger the reward, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the reward may not always, it's not about the money, but it's about the experience you get. And that'll lead to the next thing, and to the next thing, and to the next thing. So just like, man, like really just like trust in yourself and like when you feel it's right, don't be forced and don't force yourself like, oh, this might be the only thing that comes through. Like Cam mentioned earlier, things may seem like you can do this forever or they're stepping stones. There's been many jobs and many opportunities that I've had that I was like, I'm gonna do this forever. But I've realized now that they are all just stepping stones. But I mean, Cam, what do you take on that? Like, what's your take on like stepping into the unknown? Like, what do you?
I mean, I think you embrace that fear. I think that's the real thing. I mean, as an entrepreneur, it's always going to be unknown.
Yeah.
You can never truly predict what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's kind of the excitement of it, I think, to me. It's like you truly never know what tomorrow's going to bring. No. I literally wake up every day, refresh my email, and that determines what my year is going to look like, almost. Like, a simple email can change what my year looks like.
Yeah.
And I think that's the exciting part, is like, because you can be working, and you can be doing work that you think is pushing you towards something, and you might not even know that what you're doing is actually making you more coveted in this other world that you might not even shot at. And it's almost being open to, like, go wherever the water takes you. And I think that's how I approach what I do.
Yeah.
If you were to ask me, beginning of my career, where would I be right now? I would probably say on someone's tour bus right now, you know, on tour, kicking it.
Yeah.
Maybe with Beyonce, shooting Beyonce, shooting Drake right now. But, and I'm not mad at where it went. I'm actually more thankful because now my mind is opened up so much deeper than hip hop or music. It's like, shit, that's dope, but working for Drake would be crazy, but working for Nike is crazy too. Like, what the hell? Like, going to Italy and shooting for this is crazy too. Having our own studio is crazy too. So it's like, I couldn't have predicted that I would be going this way, but just being open. So that fear is a good thing.
Yeah.
I think if you don't have fear, I think you're being too cocky.
Yeah, or you're just like, you're being too comfortable with yourself. And
you're
like
being a little too comfortable. Like, you're not risking. Yeah. And then, like, what is the good in that?
Fear
so
is good.
The fear is a good thing. So embrace it and prepare. Right. Take it as a, you know, preparation. Don't just be fearful and get scared. Like, prepare for it. I prepare every day for what would happen if something happened. Like, what if an artist gets online and says, fuck Cam Kirk, we don't like his photography. Like,
internet trolls.
Trolls, I mean, stuff like that can happen. People have lost their careers over smaller things, miscommunications, misunderstandings, and people have literally lost careers over a troll or something. So you have to be prepared for it. It's a fear, but, you know, you're ready for it. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Anything else? You're good? All right, well.
Thank you guys.
Thanks again, Lewis. Appreciate you coming all the way from Chicago.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you, guys.
You literally flew in for this, so this is dope. So take the time to introduce you guys. Introduce yourself to them. Show them some of your work. Talk to them. Take a look at our collab if you haven't already. It's available in Detour. Answer any phone calls that keep ringing.
It's getting blocked up. This guy is like, yeah.
Do your thing.
Where you
take
at,
Kay?
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right. Oh. Nah, that was dope, bro. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That was raw.